Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. That's our number. And if you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. Well, we're getting a correction. I know technically you got to go down to 10%, but it feels sloppy, right? We're down 6% or so now from the highs. Rough week until Friday, basically, this past week, especially for tech stocks. And, of course, all of the media will tell you and point to this day and that day why the sky is blue, right? Why did the market move next to no direction at all? Why the market did this? Every day has some kind of explanation to it because, well, that's the news. That's what we do. We tell you why something happened. We don't know what's going to happen, but we can tell you why something happened, or can we? Do we? Is it really important to know why did the market go down 20 points? You know, because some days it doesn't do much of anything. It just doesn't. And of course, but that has to have a reason to it. Why did the market go down 20 points? Which is nothing. It's next to nothing. And the real answer, of course, every day is there isn't a reason. It just does stuff. There's not like a specific thing. Like I've read before and made fun of the T. Rowe Price people. Hopefully I'm not banned from reading their weekly thing because it is really funny to hear them. You know, traders and said that Joe Biden's bill that would increase spending beyond our comprehension, exacerbating inflation massively, and nobody really knows what's in the bill. It's 2,500 pages long. Looks like it's in trouble. And so the market went down. No, it didn't go down for that reason. The world doesn't want tax increases. I know progressives do. They want to penalize people that have more money than they do. So we need to penalize them. And I know they call it fairness and all that, but that's nonsense. It's a penal tax to go to 40% on capital gains. It's not going to raise income for the federal government at all. Not at all. It's just penal. You have too much. We're going to take it away from you. Everybody loved your product, and they bought lots of it, and you became a billionaire, and now we have to hate you, so we have to take it away. Boy, there's an incentive to come up with some ideas, isn't it? I think that's great, and Wall Street would just hate that. Go, come on. This is what goes, and we all just go, uh-huh, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, because it's stimulative of the economy. I don't know how it's stimulative to take $1 trillion from, if you will, productive private enterprise, whether that's corporations or people. They're productive. And then take that $1 trillion from them and give it to a non-productive government, because government is non-productive. It's destructive. It destroys everything it touches. If you want less health care, have government run it. If you want inferior health care, have government. Give it away. If you want bad schools, make sure that the government runs them. Because private schools don't seem to have a problem. They seem to be getting better. It's always true. And so yet we look at this, and this is why the market did this or that. And it's just absolutely not true. All right, fine, Dave. All right, I'll buy that. But why did the market, why is the market having a correction? Because it does. Just because it does. And this is the hard part for people, I think. They need to understand why it's having a correction, or they think they do. Because then they can figure out, they think, how much more of a correction is going to be before they jump in, then they can buy low. Or they need to sell now so they can flip it back in later because they think it's going to get a lot worse. If only I could get more information on why this is happening. And there's a number of reasons why this is happening. So many that we don't really know which one or which combination of ones. We don't. Lots of people will tell you that they do. And I'll tell you why I think it is. But this is not the perfect answer, because there isn't a perfect answer. the future is always unknown, and this is very, very difficult for people. And even more important to that, when you're talking about the market, even really the world, the economy, everything, is even if you get things right, I mean, like spot on, I know where interest rates are going to go, it's going to go and be exactly at 2.1% at the end of the year, would not tell you how the market would react to that, how people would. What does that look like in the economy, in stocks, and even in bonds? What does that look like? I mean, if you knew, for example, last year that President Trump would lose the election to an incompetent buffoon and we would lose the Senate, you would know for a fact that the economy would suffer, which it is a little bit, but you know, you would know that the market would tank. But it didn't. It didn't, smart guy, at all. It went up. We don't know how things are going to react. You can't know. You can't know. And so we always try to put this thing on it, like we need more knowledge, we need more information, and we kind of get away from this thing I'm going to talk about in the next hour, which is kind of like, just relax. When it comes to stocks, chill out. We don't need a reason. Relax. The stock market goes up 10% a year, all your life, your dad's life, your grandpa's life, your children's life. But it doesn't do it anywhere near 10. It's up 20. It's down 20. It does all this. And we want to know what it's going to do, as if not getting 10 in a year is an important thing. It's not. Is the market going to do 10 the next 5 years? I don't know. Kind of doubt it. What do you mean? Number one, it never does 10. It does way more or way less over short periods of time. 10 is just a gravitational pull towards the average. And that warps our mind. We just can't think. We think linear. We just don't think about an average being long-term, but then short-term, no idea. Nothing near it. But the reason why we're having a correction, whatever it becomes, an official correction or an unofficial correction, we're down 6% from the highs, it's just not a big deal. It's a buying opportunity. Even if it goes down 10. Why? Because the economy is doing well. It's okay. We're growing slower than we should. You know, supply chain issues. Inflation is real. That's probably a real concern. I think the reason we're having a little bit of correction is we're trying to figure out where interest rates ought to be. They ought to be higher. We just don't know how much higher. And is inflation transitory or is it long term? I think we're transitioning into a long term. It's really here. Meaning the Federal Reserve is going to have to quit their pretend dancing past the graveyard and raise interest rates sooner than later. And the market's digesting all that. And we haven't had a correction in a long time, so the market's tired. What do you mean tired? What does that mean, tired? It means the market doesn't go up every day. It doesn't go up every month and not every year. There's always a reason to sell and go buy a boat or retire and draw income. There's always a reason to sell. There's only one reason to buy, because you think prices are going to go up. And sometimes people think that prices are plenty high enough and they're not buying as much. So market's correct. And then buyers go, I think this is a good place to come in. But there's trillions of dollars out there. And so we get these squiggles back and forth. Where else are you going to put money? So I think it's a little bit of this transition where we're really figuring out that inflation's here. It's not hyperinflation. It's not 1980s or 70s inflation, but it's here. We all see it every day. You see it at the supermarket. You see it certainly at the gas pump. We have an incompetent president. We have a rudderless leader. I don't know who he is. He doesn't know who he is. Nobody knows who he is. This is not the guy that's stood around, did nothing for 40 years in D.C. Now he wants the government to take over everything. Except, of course, Afghanistan. We just leave. We don't have any borders anymore. We just don't. We don't. But it's not a crisis at the border. All of this is fussy for the market. All of it. It's not a political show. That's not what I'm talking about. But we're in a weird time. But what it funnels right down to it, you're buying businesses. They're doing well. They're doing well. And that's what stock ownership is. Part of that business. And then we go through corrections from time to time. And all the commentators hyperventilate about it. Because if we're not turning blue on TV, you won't watch. And so they do. It's a funny time. Not funny, haha, for sure. Funny, ugh. Ugh. Awful. Awful. I get it. It's hard. But we don't have to figure it out. We don't. We truly don't. And we don't have to sit there and nod our heads at, oh, that's why the market did nothing today. Oh. Thank you. Because tomorrow they changed their mind. Market went up because oil prices went up. Market went down because oil prices went up. What? I thought you said, I don't know. Yeah. It's pretty weird. It is. All right. I got to take a quick break. It's 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and again, thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. You know, it is interesting how we just grapple with this idea that we need to try to figure things out, and why is the market doing what it's doing, and we need to know this day to day. It's so important. And it is a weird sense that I need to know what's going on in the world. I need to know. And there are a few people that need to know. I agree. You know, I need to know because I have to, you know, talk with people about it and talk to the media about it and stuff like that. So I kind of need to know. But I really don't need to know every day. I just kind of generally need to know. Right? I mean, I just kind of generally need to keep up on things. That's why I often talk about, very positively, of course, about the Wall Street Journal. It's like, that's kind of like yesterday's commentary, news, thought. It doesn't scream and yell at me and make me feel like I need to know things that I actually don't. I can take a step back. I can read an article, and then I can, I could look in my wife's eyes and I can think about other things. I can watch the birds. I don't have to be focused, and I don't have to have angry people all the time. Well, we don't do this. It's blah, 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 blah. It doesn't help me with clarity. It doesn't. I don't know anything then. I just know anger. Or I know more data points of what I already believe. And so therefore, I'm actually dumber than I was before I listened. Oh, yeah, that's another data point for what I already know. And I therefore have less possibility of any other idea entering into my head. I got to make sure that nothing can change my mind. I want to make sure that. Well, that's not really what people think, but that's what people do all the time. So I want to talk about this. Why in the next hour, I'm going to talk a little bit about this. Why is it we do this? Okay, that's fine. It's given. We do it. But can we stop doing that? And would it actually give us a little more clarity? And do we need to know the future? Because the answer really is no, we don't. You don't need to know the future to get rich. You don't. You never have. And I'll bet you nobody knows. If you want to email me this, tell me what happened 40 years ago, basically today. If you want, 2 days ago, but basically today. 40 years ago, what happened? It's an interesting economic question. I will answer it when we come back. Fox News is next, hour number 2 after that. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO is our number. Yeah, who would notice it, right? But we do have a new sponsor, Modern Lending. I'll tell you what, we have not had a new sponsor to this program because we don't. We just don't for years. And the reason why is because our office, a few people in our office, have been getting their loans, refinancing through these folks. And I mean to tell you, it's impressive. And I'm not going to say who. We used to refer people off to an institution in town. And it just got to the point they weren't returning phone calls, things like that. It took forever. And the rates were higher. So these folks are they're killing it. And so literally came into our office and were talking to us and said, hey, thanks for sending people our way, blah, blah, blah. Can we be part of your program? And it's like, of course you can. And I'll tell you why. And again, I'm not here to, they're not paying me to do this. I just can't believe it. You know, it's just one of those things that we just say, look, what you can do is you can take care of our clients the way you have been. But I am proud to have them here. Modern Lending is sponsoring the program now, and they are really great young people that are just killing it out there. And return calls, and in 24 hours you have approval. I mean, I just can't believe it. In a world, you can't get people to show up after they make a bid to do a job at your house. They don't even show up, and this is just fantastic. So I just wanted to mention it and mention it out loud. You'll hear them on there, and I'll tell you, if you're looking at a refinance, these kids are great. All right, let's talk about stuff, shall we? I'll tell you what, I'm going to come back to this, but first of all, that is why we don't need to know the future. I'm going to take some calls first, but I did promise this. What happened 40 years ago? 40 years ago, basically today. Economically, it was a super important thing. And nobody knows why. And this is kind of feeds into all of our discussions all of the time. Nobody knows why it happened. Nobody knows why the market bottomed on thus and such a time. Nobody knows why it turned and then it just flew higher or lower or what have you. Oh, we can all look back and go, it's so obvious that this happened on that day. Nobody was buying government bonds back 40 years ago. And interest rates peaked. And of course, if you look at the chart of that, it's really quite obvious. Quite obvious, indeed. It's super obvious that rates were peaking because they went straight down. 20-year interest rates peaked over 15% 40 years ago. And nobody today knows really why they stopped or why literally the next bond auction the next week was much better accepted and rates began to come down. And guess what people don't believe today, right? That rates will ever really go much higher. We shall see. We shall see. 40 years ago. I guess I am really that old. I've been around doing this for over 40 years now. Incredible. All right, let's go ahead and go to the phones here. We've got Marcia.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, Marcia.
Well, I've got some vague questions, and I suppose you probably won't be able to really answer them, but anyway, I'll try to get started.
Okay.
I watched a couple of these presentations on YouTube, you know, which I had no intention of doing. I was just trying to watch something else. And then I got hooked in. One of them is by a man named Bill Shaw. Does that ring a bell?
No, I'm sorry, it doesn't.
Okay. Well, he was touting nickel royalties because the electric car market depends on nickel to make batteries.
Okay.
And it's kind of scarce. And anyway, we should buy nickel royalties. And so he didn't tell you all this. You had to buy his $49 booklet or whatever it was.
Yep.
And I've done this before, and I'm not going to do it again because they won't flood you with emails and everything when you do this.
You're right.
So I found out who he was and what he was plugging by doing research on the web. And it turns out it was nickel. And there's an article by Forbes magazine last year that says gold is hot, but nickel is hotter as demand grows for batteries in electric vehicles. So it looks like he was right, and it's a good thing to buy. But he says not to buy nickel per se, but nickel royalties. All right. Then I saw Whitney Tilson give a similar presentation, and he's touting transportation as a service, TaaS. Because he says electric and self-driving cars are going to change the world completely in a few years. Even freeing up lots of land that is now used for parking lots everywhere. So So I'm just wondering if I should go ahead and follow their advice and buy nickel royalties for one thing and CAS.
No. First of all, this, you know, that automobiles, you know, that don't require human beings and all in the future are going to massively change. That's been known for a long time. That's not a statement of, wow, that's incredible. That's a statement of the sky is blue. We all know that. And that's going to change. But I don't know how you would say, well, do you buy Tesla? Do you buy, you know, BMW? Do you buy them all? Can't buy them all. And then what else does it mean? What else is in that industry? And I'm sure that for $49.99, they'll tell you exactly what you ought to be buying and then continue to sell you things down the road. This is only the beginning, obviously. And you know that, right? They'll flood you with that. Marcia, there isn't any reason to not just sit back and go, this is crazy. Of course, you can't buy nickel royalties. I wouldn't be investing in that. What you're talking about is something that's going to be unbelievably expensive to you. For example, I'm going to give you $10,000, and it's because I want this hunk of this thing called nickel royalties, right? And so what they own is they own the land, and then they get royalties from the mining of nickel on it. So obviously there's nickel there. They've already got a mining operation there, and you're buying into a known entity. And the people that are putting it all together are doing what? They're taking a huge cut, right? They're just scraping a huge cut. And then it comes down to you after being sold to you through some guy who is going to give you the secret, this Bill Shaw guy. No. There's no way it gets to you, a known thing. It's like saying, hey, I think you should buy lithium. People don't know it, but they put it in lithium batteries, and there's a big demand coming for it. Shh, don't tell anybody. Well, we all know that. I mean, this is like all known. It's not a secret that isn't out. And there's this really important question to ask yourself all the time. And this is the hardest one. And it's one that it's my first and I think the most important of my 10 investment commandments. Okay. Now, the 10 investment commandments is something I put together years and years and years, decades ago now, partly for me. I've shared it multiple times. It's actually on our website. You can go to it and I present it. And it's really for me. These are my 10 things that I want to keep my eyes focused on because the world doesn't want me to do those things, right? It pushes you. That's why they're the commandments. They're not really suggestions or, you know, if you feel like it, it's kind of, yeah. It's because it's important for us to keep reminding ourselves that what I know isn't worth knowing. What you know isn't worth knowing. And nobody wants to accept that. And here's why. It's because it's already priced in. We already all know that lithium's a big deal. Not worth knowing. It doesn't mean you can't buy, I can't think of the name of it, LTHM, which is, I know it sounds like lithium, but it's not. It's not quite the name of the company. But that's what they do. They mine lithium. You can buy that company. It's obviously up a lot. It doesn't make money. But people think it's going to make a lot of money because they have the deposits. But there's that's not new information, right? But if you want to buy into it, buy some lithium and buy some Tesla or whoever, right? And there are also exchange-traded funds out there. I talk about it all the time. The things we know that are coming, artificial intelligence, robotics, buy them. They're all available out there in exchange-traded funds if you want. You can. What about genetics? Absolutely. What they're doing with genetics is unbelievable today. What about biotechnology? Absolutely buy into it. We all know these things are coming. We don't know who the winners are, and that's the beauty of it. Take a shotgun approach, not a rifle approach, and you own that area. And so we can all do that, but what we know isn't worth knowing because it's already priced in. And somebody telling us they've got this really hot deal on nickel means you're about to get fleeced. I'm just sorry. The costs of doing nickel royalties? Oh, my word. I mean, what a con job, right? this guy ought to be in jail. I mean, just by talking about this stuff, because it's ridiculous and ridiculously expensive to the end user. Look, you can go out there and you can be a billionaire and you can go running around and go, yeah, okay, I want to go ahead and buy up this nickel mine. Okay, me and my buddies are going to put in $100 million each. We'll borrow some money from a bank and then we'll go ahead and mine nickel. You can do that if you're a billionaire, but you can't do that because the costs getting down to you are going to be absurd. But here's how you can get rich. You can buy the market, because the market is the perfect mechanism for creative destruction. Hey, you guys are doing a great job. Boom, stock goes up. Hey, you guys are terrible. Stock goes out of business. And that's the whole mechanism that has made the average person who participates rich. Well, a cup of coffee a day for 40 years is $1.1 million. Everybody can afford a cup of coffee a day, but not everybody does that. They want to find the next way to get rich on something that sounds logical. And we've got to remind ourselves what we know isn't worth knowing. And why me? If this is such a great idea, why isn't Bill Shaw just keeping that great idea?
Yeah, that's what I always wonder about. Okay, can I ask you about one other company?
Fire away.
Okay. Mm-hmm. My son is into this, and I've also bought some. It's GOF, Golf. And what it is Guggenheim Strategic Opportunities Fund, which is a diversified closed-end management investment company.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that just sounds like gibberish.
Well, it is gibberish, but it's a real gibberish. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a mutual fund is all that it is.
Well, he has a friend who lives off the dividends from this company.
Mm-hmm.
He must have bought a huge amount because he just lives. That's all he does now is live off the dividends, and he's a constant golfer, so he's living well. So anyway, he told my son to buy some, and son told me, so we've both bought some now. But it's going down, you know, recently, although I've been watching its graph, and it goes up and down. But the last week or so, it's pointed down. But what do you think about that?
Well, I think that you shouldn't buy something because somebody else tells you to buy it, okay? I think that you can own it. It's nothing. There's nothing weird about it. A closed-end mutual funds is something that I happen to have a good deal of knowledge in. In fact, I'd say that most people don't have anywhere near the knowledge of closed-end mutual funds that I do. But I will tell you that Guggenheim Strategic Opportunity Fund is not one I would buy.
Oh.
It's trading at a premium. It usually does. But you're buying it for more than it's worth. If they just liquidated it all, you would have a 13% loss. I don't buy things at a premium, and I'm not saying that you can't. It has a very high distribution rate, which also means it's at 11%. It's paying out principal as well, because nobody makes 11.5% consistently. You can't, right?
I don't know.
No, you can't. Not in a zero interest rate world. So it's levered at 30%. So if interest rates go higher, you're quite right, it has been going down. And if interest rates continue to go up, it's going to be in trouble. It's not a small fund. I'm not making fun of it. And somebody can live off of it if they want to. But this is not a, quote, safe investment. And when you're putting all your money in one thing, it doesn't make sense. You need to be investing in what makes sense for you, Marcia, not just...
I have done well over the years, not a huge amount. Right now I have $25,000 in the market, and I've always done okay. I haven't lost money until just lately.
Okay. Well, good. All right. I've got to take a quick break here, though. So, Marcia, I hope it goes well for you, but I hope you'll keep listening. And I'm going to talk about something hopefully this week, maybe next week, that might bring some truth for you as well. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dave.
You're so welcome. You have a great day. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. And Joe, you hang on. I've got to take a quick break here. Joe's up to bat next at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That's our number. Let's go to Joe. Joe, how are you?
Hey there.
Hey. Thanks for holding, Joe, by the way.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, I did just want to basically give you a compliment. I was listening several segments ago, and I just wanted to say that I felt your comments regarding kind of the state of the state and worrying about what's going on right now was very succinct anyway, and it was just very plainly spread out about, you know, the things that we hear in the media and the things that are going on right now. And I just wanted to say it was a very logical, plainly spoken explanation of kind of where we're at and what's trying to happen right now, and politically and of course financially, that's affecting or could potentially affect us all. And it's just, you know, the things that you said about things just not making sense, and here's what's being proposed. I just wanted to say I really appreciate your comments, because it was a nice summary of kind of the madness that's going on. And then I just wanted to say, kind of following up, and you said, you know, hey, we don't know what's going to happen, and we can't predict. All we know is what the market historically has done. And for myself in the past, I would read a book or two and think, oh, you know, I could roll stocks and I can do covered calls and I can do all those things. And all that did was basically me not knowing anything about really the market, being a true amateur. All it ended up doing over the long haul was losing myself money. Mm-hmm. So I guess, and I did have a neighbor that said he does in fact invest in the various market indexes, and he doesn't do individual stocks. And I do have 401ks and all those type things, but I got thinking about, well, how should I put in additional money that I have for about, I only have about 10 more years to work. And so I just kind of wanted maybe your take on if there are certain general market indexes that you would recommend or say that are better than others.
You bet. First of all, I'm not deflecting. I'll give you an answer here, but I think you want to be diversified, all right? And that's an easy way out as well. Like, who's going to say you shouldn't be diversified, right? But what I mean by that too is that we don't want to be an all or none. And you heard the previous call here, right? And so that's, to me, is when you're sitting around with money, you just go, oh, that's the one investment I should make then with this money, right? This is my, mm-hmm. what I'm going to do. I think in her case, it was $25,000. She says, so now I'm going to go buy this thing that I heard my neighbor doing. And they do mm-hmm. it, right? And it reminds me of a conversation I had just yesterday, really, with a long, long time client, probably is listening. And he has listened for a long, long time. And I think they've been clients for 30 years. It's quite a while, but super, super great people. And I don't want to say too much about them, but they came out because I don't want people to know them. But they came into a good bit of money here recently. And we're looking at this and thinking about what to do. And he shared a story of many, many years ago, not having any money and not really worried about anything. And then he had some money and was worried about it. And it's an interesting mm-hmm. thing to actually think back on. And I enjoyed the conversation immensely for that. But it was also talking about the fact that he saw his neighbor would be like, okay, I'll try that thing over there. And then poof, the money's gone. And then the other neighbor's going to go try something else and poof, the money's gone, right? Because they didn't have a plan, okay? There's no plan, Joe. And so I what we want to do is think about what are you trying to do over the next 10 years? Because then when the storm blows, right, our house isn't built on the sand. It's just like, because it's going to blow. And then we don't go to another investment, or we don't feel like we need to put it all into this thing over here that we don't know what it is, right? So if you have a plan, then we move on to the index, okay? So if you're saying, I got 10 years, so that's a good start to understanding our plan, right? And we want to put money away, how often? Is it monthly, quarterly? You have just a chunk of money? Are you going to keep adding to it? That's the next plan part, right? And so mm-hmm. that's what we're doing. And can we handle the the nature of markets, which is it's going to go up, it's going to go down, we're going to have storms, and we got to hang in there through it. All of that is a foregone, we have to do this, right? And so we're just going to keep plowing forward, and that's what I mean by having a plan and having some diversification. If you're going to be more aggressive, right, then the indices I would be involved in would be A, the S&P 500. You just have the greatest big companies in America. But we also need to have some small cap stocks, because some of those are going to become big ones. But here's the way I would attract those. I would say, look, the market is certainly not cheap. It doesn't mean it's too dear. There's nothing else to buy. It just means it's not super cheap. So what I would do is I'd be just continuing to add in, especially when you got sell-offs, okay? And just find money. Sell something and put it in whenever the market sells off a little bit. But I would be buying, as we talked about before, I'd be buying 5G stuff, right? The Internet of Things, right? The connectivity that's coming, right? I would be buying that. And that's going to include all these big giant companies. You can do it through an exchange-traded fund. And I would be buying that. I'd be buying cybersecurity. I would be buying robotics and artificial intelligence. These things are real and coming, okay? But if I'm really thinking out 10 years, do I really care if the market's high or low? No. I care where it's going, right? I know the world doesn't want you to think like that. It wants you to think about right now. Watch my show right now. Listen to me yell at everybody right now. Right? Listen to me scream and yell about how Joe Biden's ruining the whole wide world. Okay? That's not helpful. Yeah. It's not. We want to think about where we're going in 10 years. And so if you have that kind of a look at it, it doesn't matter. So get your plan in place. If you're aggressive, then get out there and get after some of these sectors. If you're not as aggressive, the S&P 500 is a great index to be in. But there's even better ones than that. You can certainly look into equity index or equity income funds, where they're buying dividend payers, right? So that those dividends are coming in quarterly and they're reinvesting for you, and it's compounding, and it's a much lower volatility than that. So know who you are and what your plan is, and then follow that plan.
Great. I like that. That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, again, thank you so much for the comments about the state of the state earlier. I appreciated that.
Oh, thank you. And I appreciate you commenting on that. So thanks for taking the time to do that. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Bye now. And have a great weekend. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We've got to take a break for Fox News. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. All right, before we jump on the phones here, I want to also kind of finish a little bit of that thought, because it, embedded in the last couple of phone calls, and certainly it's in my mind, is this idea that we have to move forward with a plan. And I thought about this, too, yesterday, as I said, meeting with these wonderful people. And they are wonderful people. They just truly are. So hopefully they're listening, because I want them to hear that, of course. I think they know that and feel that from us. But we care deeply about them. And they've been clients for a long, long time. And picturing that and understanding a gentleman's ability to look back and see things in his life that have happened and take those lessons away is something that I have been fortunate for 40 years to be able to do, and still learning all the time, because this was a picture of saying I needed to let go of this responsibility many years ago, because this is what, if you will, our caller called about in my mind earlier. And that is, I have this money and I've done well with it as I move from one investment to another. Okay? Most of the time I do okay. But as I look up this fund, I'll bet that she did not know that the fund that she bought is a junk bond fund. Half the bonds aren't even rated, and it is bonds. And you can't earn 11%. In this world on bonds. We all know that. So they're doing things that are very risky. If they're successful, groovy. I'm not saying they can't be. But when we don't even know what we're buying, we don't know if it fits our what we're trying to do. And so we just move it because, you know, should we be investing in TAAS? Should we be investing in nickel? Should I be investing in this? We're driven to kind of be thinking about, you know, we're jumping around instead of like moving with the plan and resting with it. As it is to say, I watched a neighbor just like he finally took this $100,000 he'd saved up and didn't know what to do with. And so, poof, he put in this thing and it went away. And I saw this other neighbor, poof, it went away. Why? Because we, if we don't have a plan, we just sit on it. Then one day you hear something that sounds like it might be okay, and then you go do it. But it may not even be a good idea for you. It may be a horrible thing. It might go poof and disappear because it might actually be a really bad thing or really bad people. With a plan, we just follow the plan. Oh, I came into some money. So what should I do? Follow the plan. Oh, okay. And so when you're thinking about this, you're also thinking, and I hope Marcia's still listening. Marcia, I'm not making fun. I hope you at all. This is a human nature thing, and I want all of us to learn from it. Like this gentleman, you know, reminded me yesterday, just yesterday. When you have a plan, or you have people you trust to help you work that plan, you just simply keep doing that. And it's not your burden to go find, to go on the dark web and find a Bill Shaw or whatever, whoever that is, to go buy nickel royalties, whatever the heck that is. You're not searching for that. It's a burden that in the end will lose you the money. It's a burden that needs to come off of your back and put onto somebody else because it can lead you down the wrong path. We do it with all kinds of expertise in all kinds of areas in our life. You have to release that. It needs to be somebody else's. I don't have this one. Boom. It's gone. Really, really smart people have a tough time becoming wise in that. Sometimes harder, because they know so much about so much in their respective fields that they feel, I've battled this. I feel I need to try to figure everything out. I don't. That's why we have experts. I have to spend all of my energy finding experts, not figuring everything out. And also spend all of my time and effort understanding that I can't know everything. And as my lovely bride will attest, I also have to work on not always being right. I don't have to be right. And that's kind of where I started today's program, is that I don't have to be right about the future at all. At all. At all. I don't have to try to predict it. I don't have to wonder what Joe's going to do next. It's going to be bad. He doesn't believe in our country. He believes in a big, powerful, overreaching government. That's not good for the economy. That's not good for my country. I must fight that. But I don't know what he's going to do next, but whatever it is, it's going to be bad. Does that mean I don't own stocks? No, not at all. It doesn't. See, I don't have to know. I don't have to know what interest rates are going to do. I know they're going to go up someday, so I probably don't want to own a bunch of bonds, but I don't have to know when. I just know I can't win when they're this low by buying bonds. That's all I have to know. I don't have to know when. I don't have to know when inflation is going to be here. It's going to be. We just raised the amount of money out there called money supply by 30% since the pandemic started. That's lunacy. We've never done this before. Does it mean there's hyperinflation? No, I don't think so at all. There's no sign of that. But we will have inflation. Do I need to know how much inflation? No. I don't. Do I have to have any precision? No, I don't. What I have to know is that a cup of coffee a day is 1.1 million on a 40-year basis. In other words, the market goes up 10% a year on average all the days of my life. And in the short term, I have no idea what it's going to do. Some years it has a minus. Some years it has a huge plus. And I don't know when that's coming. Do I need to know that to grow $5 a day into 1.1 million? No, no, I don't. I never had to know that. Did I need to know inflation, interest rates? Who was in the White House? None of that. I didn't need to know any of it. See, we don't need to know the future. You don't need to know. But we have to get rid of the burden of thinking we've got to figure stuff out. And sometimes we have to turn the news off because it's so loud. It's so intense. It's so angry. It's not informing us at all. It's clouding it. We just sometimes have to go, man, what a beautiful day. Let's go for a walk. Turn the news off. Dial it back. That's how we can have some more wisdom. And I think otherwise we flit from here to here in our investment thinking, thinking that this thing's the best thing since sliced bread, and then we got to move it over here and do this, and what should I be doing instead of following the plan? Just follow the plan. If you don't have a plan, then get a plan. And if you don't know how to follow the plan, then find somebody to help you follow the plan. Get a coach. Get an advisor. It's okay. It's a complex world. It really is. We're at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Jim, are you there?
Yeah, Dave, how's it going?
Good, good. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Good.
I wanted to follow up on one thing you mentioned to Marcia about.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking at one point about, you know, 11% dividend. Mm-hmm. And the companies don't pay that. Now, this is one of my pet peeves. A lot of times they will, like you said, return of principal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it won't show in your statement. It'll show as a dividend. But I've had a few companies that like two-thirds of the damn thing was like return of principal.
Yeah.
And I, from an accounting standpoint and an ethical standpoint, won't put up with it. So I get rid of companies that do that. But they will do that. And so if it seems too good to be true, like a high dividend, it no doubt is.
Yeah, correct. And we do have to be super careful with that. And there's companies that acknowledge it. This is what we want to do. We have a structured payout. And probably this is one of them, right? We have a structured payout based on our net asset value of X percent. And they're going to pay it. And when the market goes down and their net asset value goes down, they're going to pay it anyway. They're going to pay it out of principal. But sometimes companies borrow money, like in a downturn, to pay a dividend, and that's still going to be taxed as a dividend. But, Jim, I would also check your 1099 at the end of the year. You'll notice that sometimes on this type of a structure, it will be classified as a return of capital, so you're not taxed on it.
Well, I know. You know, when it comes out up at the end, you know, they divide it out.
Yep.
But on a monthly basis, a lot of times, they'll just put it under dividend.
They absolutely do. On your statement, that's all it looks like.
Again, from an accounting standpoint, to borrow money to pay a dividend is ridiculous. You know, you pay a dividend if you make money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to borrow money to pay a dividend has got to be unethical.
Well, it's not necessarily unethical, but I think it's something that's kind of is risky and certainly can't be sustained. Now, if you have a short-term, I'm going to use the energy companies as a good example. Most all of them cut their dividend, right? But they were losing money. So if they paid even a penny, that would be out of borrowed money. technically, not out of profits, because when energy prices tumbled at the first part of the pandemic and they didn't sell enough stuff, we saw that these companies were literally losing money. Well, they wanted to keep paying a dividend because they saw it as short term, and they borrowed some. So to do that, otherwise dividends would be payable. You know, instead of a consistent stream, which most investors
want. But see, that's the thing. The dividends would reflect what the company's doing. I mean, if they're not doing well, they shouldn't, make it seem like they are doing well.
Right. And when the outlook is not good, right, if they don't think this is a temporary thing, then companies cut or stop their dividend. They cut it in half or whatever, or stop it altogether. They do that. They did that in the pandemic when companies like, whoa, I don't know what's going on here. We're stopping. Okay. Others went, we don't know what's going on here, but right now we're going to cut the dividend. And we're not going to stop it, but we're going to cut it. And now they're raising crazily, which is actually one of the things I'm not going to get to it today, but I was going to talk about today is how much dividends have been increasing. It's fantastic. I'll talk about it next week. But it is fantastic how much they've gone up. So as we see that, it's temporary. If companies go ahead and borrow temporary, that's okay. It's all right with me. But if they're borrowing on a long-term basis, or this is the one for me that I really watch, the payout ratio. In other words, what percentage of profits is going to towards the dividend? Is it over 50%? If it is, I rarely want to own that company. I'm not saying never, but it certainly is a huge red flag. I want growth of income, not just income. And you can't grow the dividend if you're paying out your profits that all or almost all. And sometimes you see payout ratios that are 80, 90%. Those are companies who are not going to be able to raise their dividend because they simply can't. They're not growing their business fast enough. So it's called a payout ratio. How much of the profits are going towards dividends? And they bounce around. I get it. And some companies, that's what they want to do is pay out mostly in a dividend. But that's not a growth company. And to me, a high payout ratio is high risk that dividend is going to get cut.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's part of owning stocks. I mean, you know, owning equities.
Yeah.
You know, being an owner of a company, if you don't make money, you don't get paid. So.
Right. Well, in the long run, that's absolutely true.
Well, anyway, take care, Dave.
Yep, thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And our number is 580-KIDO. We have to take our final break, and we'll have a few minutes on the other side. Give us a call. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and once again, thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You know, it is, to me, interesting how we all, in our human nature, flit from one thing to another. I remember particularly, and I think this is interesting because in my office, Jennifer Stone, who sometimes sits in here and does the program, and I have been working, I think, for 27 years together. And so in a sense, we've kind of grown up together, right? We certainly have watched each other raise families and so on and so forth. But we obviously, in that kind of a friendship and deep relationship, you work together that long, you get to know people. And so we're sitting there talking the other day, and she goes, you know, and talking about Bitcoin and things like that. And the Wall Street Journal's been talking about how much option trading has been going on now and things like that. And I'm like, you know, this so much of this is just nothing more than gambling, which, once again, I like a good dice game. I love to play craps. I'm just one of those things that I've always thoroughly enjoyed. Kind of glad there's no casinos here, right? Not a problem if I have to go far away to go do it. So it's something I enjoy. So don't misunderstand. And I don't mind people, doing an office pool or whatever. I'm not speaking negatively about it. But when it comes to your money, serious money, your retirement money, your plans, your long term, your college education money, your change the direction of your family money, your I want to give this away money. We don't want to gamble. This is not smart. Don't gamble. Don't do that. And you don't think you're gambling, but Who would put money into something you don't know anything about, like Bitcoin? Well, I've been reading about it. I've been doing it. No, you don't know anything about it. It's this thing they mine. Do you know anything about that? No, I don't. But it's trending up. Or I'm going to go on Robinhood. I'm going to follow this stock. I'm going to short AMC theaters. I'm going to go long GameStop. It's gambling. I'm going to put $10 on the Knicks game. Okay, but not with serious money. The problem is we get flitting from thing to thing. And we don't have a plan. See, the plan ought to be, if you want to do that stuff, is here's my serious money. I'm going to take a small amount because I'm already putting away what I need to fulfill the plan. And then I'm going to throw it away on all these other things. But anyway, so we were talking about this. And she says, you know, when it comes to Bitcoin or whatever, it's, I think a young Dave Pezzo might have been interested in that. And she's like, I went, you know, you're probably right. I would have been intrigued. And not taken a step back. I would have thrown 10 grand at it and, you know, and who knows? Maybe it goes to 100 grand. Maybe I'd done it early. And then it goes down to zero. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But now I just don't go there, right? And I think that's a long-term, if you will. It doesn't matter if it goes to $1 million. I'm going to call it, that's long-term wisdom, because I don't invest in things I don't understand. I won't flit place to place. If I sit down at a poker game, this is the analogy. I don't play poker, but you get it. You sit down at a poker game and you look around the table at all the other players because you're trying to figure out who the sucker is. If you can't figure out who the sucker is, it's you. And that's what I feel like when I don't know. It's like I don't know what the risk is. I know it can't do 11%. I'm not saying you can't invest in that, but if it can't do 11% and it is, I need to understand what the risk is or I don't play. I can choose to play if I understood what the risk was. So we don't want to flip thing to thing. We need to know what we know and walk away from what we don't and not gamble. This is an easy game. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I plan on it. Enjoy. We'll see you next week.